The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
I never duck out of a challenge. I take on all comers because I simply believe.
So here we go, El Torito, Bo Dallas, one-on-one.
I think that was in the Netherlands regions. Bull twerking!
Oh, man! Look out! Oh, no!
Oh, no. Poor El Torito's out there.
The Bulls are running in Pamplona today, but they're not running here. I'm running Bodog! Look at this! The streak lives!
How proud can you be of that?
Bo didn't challenge himself, the Bull challenged him! Bull takes on all comers. You heard it, King. He ducks nobody. Not ducks, not bulls. Usain Bolt once raised a thoroughbred. I mean, there's precedent for this. Interspecies match. And look at this. What a victory lap by beating a wild animal.
Oh, Bo Dallas.
Live the dream. Bo leaves.
Somewhere, the Interspecies Wrestling Organization is marking out that they just got a free mention on WWE television. But I believe we have had to set up separately. We are at a undisclosed location tonight, putting together the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and if you've been looking for the previous couple of weeks' episodes, blame the judge. They're still chasing me down for whatever happened at the old studio, and they've got most of my stuff under lock and key. Hopefully, you know, I'm going to get back on the phone with them, and yeah, I'm going to call them on a Saturday and try to get this crap straightened out. So, who else have I got here tonight? A few of you snuck in the building with me. That includes Jason Block.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Mr. Dallas, he actually tweeted a great Vine actually saying that Brazil's soccer team, who lost 7-1 this week, will do better if they bowl leave. So, I thought it was pretty cool.
I wonder if he stopped to Tebow for them as well.
I don't know if he did that, but it was actually very topical and very nice.
Let's see. Speaking of, actually not topical, but beaming from another part of the planet, Mr. Bad News Beeman.
Oh, yes. And I can tell you this right now. If they ever create a Dufosity Hall of Fame, JBL will be the first inducted. Gee God. He's treating Bo Dallas's streak like he's the friggin' Undertaker. It's... Oh. Jesus.
JBL's very good at playing worshiper. I'm trying to remember when... I've got a picture somewhere with him standing with his hat over his heart. I'm not sure if it was King Booker or President Angle. I gotta think about that. And helping us get this put together and hopefully get it past the gendarmes, my chief high muckety muck, Carl Schneer.
I wish I can go home again like LeBron.
Oh.
When your only other celebrity is The Miz.
Oh! Ow! Okay.
No, I say that because I've been dealing with legal crap myself, which I can't talk about.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's more tied to what's going on here, man. And like I said, I'll get this straightened out. I apologize that that this mess even got made.
But I'll tell you what, I do have a quick comment about Bo Dallas's streak.
Yeah?
A guy jobbing to him like 100 pounds more than him? Come on, that does not make sense. Come on, Titus O'Neil.
Oh. Well, just the fact that SmackDown did have the bizarre teaming of Slater and Gator. Okay, JBL does deserve his own corner in the Hall of Fame as a doofus.
Yeah, but someone who I think might be the cornerstone of doofus had a bit of an announcement on Sunday.
Yes, I am afraid that the bearer of good humor had to bring us some very bad news. Sorry, Shane.
No, that's all right. I would normally do that shtick, but this is actually some really messed up news. It's sad to hear.
This is another one of these sudden retirements, and it's slated because of injury. As we have seen the last of Santino Marella. Now, this is a guy who actually started late getting into the business. He actually did not start in the developmental system until he was in his early 30s. You know, most of these guys have been doing it since they were like 16 or 17 or whenever they could finally find somebody who would take their money. The fact that he lasted this long, Jason, is still impressive.
Yes, and what the beauty and what happened was, for those who don't know, Santino Marella came out in street clothes on Sunday. And this video is out on WWE.com if you want to take a look at it. He announced his retirement due to neck injury. I believe that this was his third neck injury. And he said that the only regret he had is that he has never been announced from his hometown, because Santino Marella, which I did not know, he is Canadian, not from Milan, Italy, or Pennsylvania, or wherever he's from.
Mississauga, I believe.
Yeah, Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. And
I've been there. Go on.
And the fact is, we saw him debut as the quote-unquote Milan Miracle, if you remember correctly. I forgot who he beat to win the Intercontinental title.
Umaga.
Oh, that's right. He
with the help of Bobby Lashley.
Aha, yes. And he became the Milan Miracle. And there were... And you think about it, and he's only in the biz for, what, about 9 years?
And developmental for maybe a year and a half.
Yeah, but he made his bones on being an absolute grade A prime Chuck doofus. Okay. And
the funny thing, the internet complains Santino should wrestle more. To this, I say, why? I love his mangling of the English language.
Son of a gun, Santa Maria.
I loved how he threw everything into it. He knew he wasn't meant to be taken seriously. And he did this all through his Intercontinental title reign. Actually, he had two reigns, right?
Yeah.
The initial Miracle and then the Hulkameter one.
And then he had a U.S. title ring also.
So, he had an excellent straight second with Beth Phoenix.
And also Maria Kanellis for a little while, I believe.
Yeah. That's true. It was Maria first and then Beth Phoenix. And Glamorella was just the.
Yes, the Glamorella. And of course... Santina Marella as Miss WrestleMania. Oh my god. No, but come on! Okay. I was reminded of that watching the Cougar Countdown special on the network. But the thing was is that you're absolutely right. He knew exactly what he was doing. Oh, and another one. Tea Time with Sheamus. Oh, my God.
I went back and watched that recently. I wish Kozlov had not been released so quickly after that, because that was absolute comedy gold.
Yes.
That whole segment was hilarious. Just Kozlov's mannerisms, Santino's horrid jokes, but they were in the UK, so they knew what they were getting themselves into.
Yep.
Sheamus knew what he was getting himself into.
I believe it was 2011, right?
I believe so.
Remember the old famous CM Punk promo?
That promo, yes.
On Johnny Ace. Did you physically fire Vladimir Kozlov on Friday?
Blah. So, a couple things that I remember. So I was at SummerSlam 08, so I got to see, you know, Glamorella defending both of their belts. And I still wish that at the end of the match, somehow Santino ended up with the women's title and Beth Phoenix was walking around with, I believe, the IC belt.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a picture of the two of them right after the match with Santino on Beth Phoenix's shoulders. I mean, that's quality comedy. They would doofus it up even more at house shows. Santino came out at a house show I went to in, I believe, Youngstown, said that he was going to dedicate a match to Beth Phoenix. And Beth was at ringside to watch. Santino gets run over by Hacksaw Jim Duggan in 30 seconds. Beth comes into the ring and Santino's trying to explain himself, trying to apologize, like, oh my goodness, you know, that's not how I wanted it to happen. And she just looks at him, grabs him, puts him in a dip, kisses him, and then throws him over his shoulder like a cave woman and walks off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe he didn't last long in that Andre the Giant Battle Royal Mania.
Mm-hmm. And let's give the guy some credit. He had they put him in a spot where he could have won the Royal Rumble. And people were, like, cool.
That was the one with Del Rio, right?
Yeah, that's the one Del Rio won.
Oh, yeah.
Santino was the last eliminated against Bryan in a chamber match, and people were digging that.
Yeah, he has moments.
But they're not going to... Those are secondary to all of the quality comedy. I mean, you already quoted him a couple of times, Jason, but, you know, I'll go around the table real quick. Shane, give me a Santino line.
Say a Santino line. You son of a gun.
I got one.
Okay.
But have a can of the ass whip.
The can of the ass whip. That's right, because...
Went on a tirade against Stone Cold for about a month.
Yeah, when Austin came back as like a guest GM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh God, too funny.
The one that I remembered. I can't even remember who asked him. Somebody was looking for CM Punk. Have you tried the Pepsi machine?
Don't make me do that. I was.
Yeah, that was Kane when Kane came up to Santino and said, "Where's Punk?" He's like, "Have you tried the Pepsi machine?"
And he threw him into it.
I'm sorry. I'm just the fact that he just does it. That is comedic timing that is almost impossible to teach.
And the funny thing is that with Vicky Guerrero leaving a couple weeks ago and this, we have lost the two best comedy people in the WWE within a matter of weeks.
Yeah, but I think we've got one guy who's filling in for that, which I thought was punishment, but after this week, this is intentional. Damian Sandow is not being punished. Damian Sandow is being challenged. This is it's getting a slow build back into things where we, you know, I've complained over the last couple of weeks, you know, who the hell did he piss off to have him come out in all these ridiculous costumes? Okay. Then this week, he gets punched out twice by Bret Hart.
Not once, but twice.
Twice. Once disguised as Bret Hart.
Yes, Bret Sandhart.
And they had to save the other one for main event. Oh, jeez.
That one should have been on SmackDown. That should have been on SmackDown.
But they wanted to
Sandow
do it for the network.
Sandow as Shawn Michaels. He didn't the physical mannerisms he didn't quite have, but the vocal cadence was perfect. He can get the voice down pretty well. He can get the mannerisms of how they speak down very well.
Oh, but Damian Sandow might be getting saved. He might be still doing that shtick for a while, but it looks like there's someone even worse on the chopping block at the moment.
And who would that be?
Well, apparently, Vince McMahon is not a rosebud. He is a lemon. He does not like Adam Rose at all.
Well, he still seems to have something for him unless... No, actually, that match was probably just a vehicle for the Fandango I lost both my girlfriends story.
Yeah, by the way, hello, little PGHLA, thank you very much.
They were just dancing together. It's a metaphor.
What's a metaphor? Anyway.
The metaphor making sure that we do this the PG way.
Yes, exactly. But I don't believe that. I mean, the rumor is that Rose is going to be the new comedy guy. That is the rumor that I have heard. But look, Rose is also the guy who they made to make Twisted Tea. You know, to be the Twisted Tea guy. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't buy that just yet.
Although, speaking of the ups and downs, Shane, you haven't been on in a few weeks.
No.
And I'm worried about asking you this question.
Oh, God, okay.
There's a new Divas champion.
Oh, yes. I'm a bit pissed off. I had to take a hiatus because I was just... don't get me wrong. I was thrilled to see AJ Lee was back, and I actually pretty much pissed myself laughing because all the rumors of AJ Lee being pregnant were squashed right there and then. It looks like it's going to be a good rivalry, although it looks like it's just classic face versus face, which we haven't seen in, ages.
So I'm okay with it. I just know that you broke something when AJ took the title off of Paige.
There's a few stores I owe money to because I went on a bit of a street raid and smashed a few windows. But
goodness. All you had to do was shout at a mirror, sir.
Jesus!
Anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of a head-scratcher in a way, though.
Well, this started the rumor mill that Vince is down on Paige. He doesn't, you know, he's not impressed, which I, you know, a few people have said that they're not impressed with her, but...
Which I think is total baloney.
I'm not on that bandwagon either.
This
I think
is a woman who was trained to wrestle, not look like a damn model.
Exactly. And she's a decent talker, but she doesn't, you know, she's not Shakespearean. Come on.
She was down in FCW and she was the highest rated friggin' heel because she was doing the anti-diva gimmick. You bring her up to WWE and they're trying to make her a frigging diva, and you can't do that because that's not who she is.
No, and she's, and at some time, there are sometimes she looks and sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, kind of forced. I noticed that too.
With the, but, yeah, with the whole being like, I don't know if she goes well as a face. That's just me being honest. Like, she just, when she's saying all those nice things like, I respect you, AJ, and all that, just, it's like, oh, that's forced.
You're absolutely right, Shane. Sorry, Nikki. Because Paige should, at the match at Battleground, which, by the way, they announced this week, so, you know, if AJ wins, I hope Paige stomps the absolute crap out of her.
Yes, I mean, this is, we need Paige to completely lose her mind.
And then get Dr. Shelby back.
Can we get Dr. Shelby back?
Do you need a hug?
She would slap the crap out of him.
Can we get Dr. Shelby back just so she can put him in the scorpion place? Just like, come here.
It would give him, you know, give him a chance to put Brian on TV in a non-wrestling role.
Mm.
He's back in anger management classes because he can't wrestle.
No.
No!
But yeah, Daniel. This thing with Paige, like I said, doesn't make sense. She's not a diva. She's a damn wrestler.
Exactly. And we... and
she's been wrestling how long?
Since she was 13 years old.
So she's already got close to 10 years under her.
And she's only 21.
And, yeah, and she's only 21. So we need to, you know... we need to show a little bit of respect. We also need to get some actual wrestling chicks up to TV.
Yeah, you can't steal that kind of talent.
Well, with Paige and AJ, I have a great feeling that if they give them enough time, these two women are going to give you the best women's match that you've seen in ages. And we saw a glimpse of that with Paige and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, Naomi's a great wrestler, and I think if you have more matches with her and Paige, you're going to get great women's wrestling. Her and AJ, definitely.
I hope we're getting to that part.
Huh?
Because I'm just, Cameron's good character, but she's not a good wrestler.
But they could play a good cat fight.
We saw a couple of good cat fights this week.
It's so friggin' stupid. Like, they're turning Cameron into a friggin', like, a snooky.
If you watch that back, that was nothing fake about that. That was, like, real hard hits. And you know they were doing that for Total Divas.
I'm sure. And I only needed to see it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they do it once, you know, good, in the sense that if it's hard hitting, again, we need to see more stuff. I mean, look, I'm intrigued by the Layla Fandango Summer Rae thing. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Sorry to steal a line from the Miz, but really.
Yeah, really. But that's fine. Okay. And again, the Naomi Cameron thing, we knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just let's see more real wrestlers. Let's see them.
And then Cameron needs to go. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I still hold NXT's women's division in more higher regard.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Sasha Banks.
And not to spoil, but an upcoming women's title match. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yep.
Yes. When Charlotte gets called up, I look forward to that.
I just hope they don't give her the same treatment, though.
Here's a question I'm going to ask that may cause some controversy. Now, even if these lovely women do get caught up like Charlotte and all those, and Alexa Bliss and all that, all those
Bayley
ones.
Bayley would be the one.
Do you honestly think that Vince McMahon or Paul Levesque, whoever is in charge of all the matches, is going to give them enough time to shine, because from what I've seen over the, like, ever since Trish and Lita left, the women's division has just been treated like absolute crap.
Well, this is something that I think they're slowly pushing, they're slowly trying to get back into place, because for a while they were doing it to promote Total Divas. Okay, now we've got people watching Total Divas. Maybe we can actually focus on the wrestling?
Yeah, which they finally pitched to the damn network after, what, 8 months?
Well, they wanted the money from E.
Or 6 months, rather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For those of you who don't have the network, free. Go get the network because it's free for a week. You don't even need to give them a credit card. We promise. We can't charge you this time because all you want is your email address so we can spam the living daylights out of you.
And we'll let you watch WrestleMania again.
And you get to watch WrestleMania 13. Woohoo!
So, you know, that encompasses roughly an hour of this week's commentary.
Pretty much.
No kidding. Good grief. I mean, I felt Don... All we needed was Don West, and everything would have been
perfect. The dialing people!
Seriously! Good God.
And this is coming from a guy who saw the man in person twice. Good God.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've met him.
So have I.
I gave him hell at the one show that I actually went to the Impact Zone for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching him and Tanae on the ramp, they're going over their script. And I just yell up the ramp, "Hey, Don! It's you gotta be kidding me!"
Oh, every time I listen to commentary, I've just got Joey Styles going through my head every single time, that promo that he did. Of, "Because I'm not a storyteller!" And I don't sound like Jim Ross. I got bumped from Backlash. It's like, oh, shit. And that's what they're really doing. They're not doing, like, wrestling anymore. They're just doing storytelling. I mean, listen, like I said, with JBL, the doofosity that comes off that guy sometimes. Like, he made the thing with El Torito and Bo Dallas sound like friggin', I don't know, like the friggin' Super Bowl or something. I was like, Jesus.
And that just tells me, thankfully, that nobody's in his headset. I think that poor Michael Cole is still getting screamed at on a regular basis. And I think Lawler just kind of tunes out whatever's coming through his headset, so.
Yeah, like, he's not there anymore. I don't know. Jeez.
He's been there long enough, so why should he have to listen to people? Like,
true.
I've been doing this for 20-odd years.
Although, I give him props for acknowledging that the last time he was in Montreal, he went out on his back.
Hmm.
He, not only during the show, they aired him thanking the crowd and thanking the hospital. And thanking the medical crew for saving his life, because he hadn't been in Montreal since that night.
Yeah.
And yeah. Still scares me.
Well, of course it scared us, but it would have scared Jerry 100 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still wrestling. He's going to be wrestling Scott Steiner, or already did just a little while ago.
Mm-mm. Oh, Jesus.
not for the Fed. They're like, if that's going to happen to you, it's not going to happen while we got a camera on.
No, it's an independent.
God. I'm sorry. But now that we've just said that, I have an odd feeling as soon as we get this recording out there and people hear this one particular segment, there are going to be heaps of fanboys out there going, "I would rather see Jerry Lawler with the WWE title than John Cena."
But you know who? There's another guy who wants the WWE title more than John Cena. And boy, Nikki, what a charisma guy this week. Roman Reigns, oh my God, seriously.
I don't need to be sold on Roman Reigns, but it sounds like it really sounds like that his ascension, as it were. I think they strapped a rocket to his ass when they found out that they're not going to get Bryan back anytime soon. And I am so digging this.
Oh, but he has. He's taken that ball that he's been given, and he's ran with it.
He's running over people with it, and he's not strong on the mic, but he doesn't have to be. He can, you know, he doesn't have to say much.
Oh no, all he had to say that was Kane was Randy Orton's bitch, and everyone went insane.
It was just, you know, whoa, and even Kane, I think, probably, you know, inwardly was laughing to himself when he went down to the ring and the two of them started brawling. Yes.
And a wild agent fight appears.
A wild agent invasion appears.
I'm sorry.
So they got mentions on the air. Finley got mentioned. Noble got mentioned. Joey Mercury was in that mess. By the way, nice shirt, Finley. Is that Diva Pink? So, you know, Jamie Noble gets the bump.
Yeah, he got speared out of his... Finley
got speared to hell and back. Noble just got thrown out of the ring.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the fact that they kind of telegraphed Finley getting speared when they had Reigns backed up in the corner and Finley pushed him a couple times too hard. He's like, whoa, man. You know, back off.
Oh, and by the way, when Reigns said, oh, yeah, Cena does suck when I'm in the ring, and I'm like, oh, shit, really?
I was like, hello, Meta.
Yeah.
It's to the point, though, that I think that the crowd is finally, you know, the crowds are, it's already starting to back him during the face shield run. So, and Canadian crowds are an honest crowd. So they are going to say what they mean and how they feel. And yeah, they want to see Reigns with the belt.
But we had a bit of a, how to put this politely, I think it was safe to say that Zeb Coulter fears Canada. Holy crap. I didn't see him on Raw. Was he on Raw?
No, and I'll tell you why. His current charge has a charge and wasn't allowed to cross the border.
Oh, I heard differently. I heard it was because they apparently didn't want Swagger getting booed with his new face run. It's like, dude, he's Canadian, he's American. Of course he's going to get booed. All Americans get booed in Canada.
Well, like, according to the information I was handed, it was Swagger wasn't permitted to go to Canada because of his DUI from last year. But you're right. He probably would have been booed in Canada. So I wonder how loud they would have been booing at him and Rusev if they actually had another little square off. And I'm sorry, Zen Meister, you shouldn't have had to lose to Rusev. Seriously. But, you know, with this face turn, Swagger will be facing Rusev at Battleground, which should be, you know, which will be another flag waving match. I mean, let's see, what else have I got in this mess? Yes. Who'd have thought the past would haunt Jericho? And why do I say that? Bray Wyatt decided to touch on some continuity.
Oh, yes, he did. Oh, that's right. I just remembered that. That's right. He did.
Oh, but they did touch on continuity. However, they also tried to make the fans seem like dumbasses by saying, when Bray Wyatt did his promo of "You've never faced someone like me before," it's like, dude, he faced you on NXT. What the hell? Like,
Jericho's seen scarier stuff in the crowds at Fozzy concerts. But no, he didn't face Bray Wyatt. He faced I thought he fought some kid named Husky Harris.
Oh yeah, and indeed, he's faced him twice. Oh Jesus, I completely forgot about the whole SummerSlam match of Team WWE versus Team Nexus.
Oh, yeah, God. See that wasn't Bray Wyatt. That was Husky Harris. That was a completely different guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what Jericho will tell you.
Exactly. Moongoose McQueen, Chris Jericho, Husky Harris, Bray Wyatt. Enough said.
Completely different guys.
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, Mr. Harris and Mr. McQueen, I mean Jericho and Wyatt.
Don't do that!
Sorry, it was there. It had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Wyatt said, "Save us, Jericho." In such an ironic way.
Mm.
And I'm amused. Then again, I'm easily amused by Jericho's antics and most of what Bray Wyatt's been doing. Save for the crab walk. That just scares the shit out of me. I don't know how he does that. That makes my back hurt just thinking about it. So that's an interesting little feud. A little something that Jericho's going to just say rub off a little bit on the Wyatt family.
Yes, because he's the only one that would actually, you know, put someone over. Jesus.
Since Cena won't.
Nope. Yeah.
Although he kind of sort of did by raising Reigns' hand at the end of Raw and everybody cheering. Then Reigns turned around and raised Cena's hand and everybody booed. He just smirks at it. He just smirked at Cena like, yeah.
Yeah, that reminded me of 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago now. When CM Punk came back after Cena won the title, in quotes.
Yes.
And they each raised the title, and Cena got his ass booed, and Punk got his ass cheered.
So, you know, it's nice to see everybody's on the same page. And Orton's bitch, I mean Kane, didn't appreciate that moniker and pretty much told Orton as much. Since Orton doesn't like Rollins, because Rollins is dangling the briefcase over everybody's heads. And Kane doesn't like Orton because, I don't want to be a lapdog to that thing. You know how hard it is to clean stuff off of my costume?
Baby oil! No!
Thank you very much.
There you go. Took a while. Worth it, though.
Well, it just, you know, I realize he doesn't really use it anymore, but that joke will never die.
No, not at all.
That joke will never die.
But do you know how Rollins is playing this, like, daddy likes me best? You know, that's...
Pretty much. And everybody's calling, you know, calling Hunter his sugar daddy. And that just makes it even more fun when Ambrose shows up. And they did me the favor. WWE found a way to make me watch a Randy Orton match. He faced Dean Ambrose.
That was a pretty freaking awesome match. Sorry, no offense on both.
No. When Orton's trying, I will give him credit. The man scared me to death when he fought Undertaker at Mania. I thought the streak was going to end that year. But this is also the man who phoned in a Hell in a Cell and partially phoned in an Iron Man match.
I was at that phone-in Hell in a Cell.
I was at the phone-in Iron Man match. I left my seat for 20 minutes because he was phoning it in. So, it's making the Fatal 4-Way interesting that... Hello?
Are we sure it wasn't just because it was John Cena versus Randy Orton for the, well, at that point, 500th time?
It's probably just the fact that it was Orton-Cena, but the Hell in a Cell was Orton-Cena, I believe.
Was it?
Jason?
Yeah, it was Orton-Cena. It was Orton-Cena.
Oh, there's your problem.
Yeah.
What's the common denominator in both of those matches?
Slow as shit. Slow as shit. Yes, it was, but yeah.
Good lord. What else have I got in here?
Oh, I want to actually talk about, you know, talking about the Buy the Network. Check us out for free. They had a very cool piece, and I don't know if it's up there yet, on the Video On Demand section. But they did a sneak preview of a series that they're going to debut, I believe, in August, called The Monday Night War. They finally – I don't know. Have you seen that one yet?
Yes.
They did a sneak peek, and all I can think of is when – Hunter and Sean were making fun of the teleprompter guy for calling it the Monday Night Wars.
They also told me how they got Tony Schiavone to come do interviews for it.
Yeah, but Carl, look, for a first episode, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and it really was a sneak peek because you can't even find it on demand.
The sneak preview they showed on Raw didn't quite hook me because it featured clips from the DVD. And I'm like, I've seen that already. Because they showed the clip with Bischoff when they asked him about, you know, making Schiavone give away Foley's title win. That was shot in like
over 10 years ago.
06? Yeah.
03.
See, because that's true. He still had his jet black hair. He got it shaved off in 05?
04. It was 05 Cyber Sunday. Not Cyber Sunday. Taboo Tuesday 04.
Okay. So, you know, it's like, okay, I've seen those clips. I want to see new stuff. I want to see new footage of what went down. And
some I probably should have stuck...
Well, I had other obligations Monday night. And by the time I had settled in for Raw, nothing that they did on that show because it was an okay Raw. But I was having trouble paying attention. I'll put it that way.
Pretty much the sneak preview was like the very beginning of... before even the war started, like the late 80s into the early 90s of WWE and WCW, and how they got to what became the first episode of the war.
So, you know, I'm sorry that I missed it, but once the series starts, I will definitely be looking into it. Really?
He found you?
I can't believe... How does he do that? I swear to God, how does he do that?
Looking up on your LG G3?
Yeah, let me see. Let me take care of that. Speaking of legal nutcases, and I promise I won't make fun of the judge, so you can at least get your episodes aired. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, fuck you too, pal.
Since you guys are talking about Canada, I'm going to throw a couple things in. Happy birthday to Tyson Kidd. We wish he was on real TV and not Diva TV.
He's on NXT. He's doing fantastic there. Trust me.
Good. Natty Neidhart has a stalker who tried to get $250,000 out of him. I think he would have been better off just not handwriting his lawsuit.
Yeah, and he put it, and he sort of put a whole new definition on the Hart dungeon with that sort of thing. Holy crap!
Yeah,
woo!
Yeah, woo!
The wrestlers are on a hectic, crazy schedule, and one of you guys is actually going to see something about it. And while you, Nikki, will be sitting at a Ring of Honor show, hoping to not catch anything from Rhett Titus, ha ha ha. Stop that. Don't forget to talk about the tag team match for Battleground. Do not forget to talk a little bit about the El Rey Network. Oh, I will get to that. San Diego Comic-Con. And 7/14/14. Anyway.
I think the GM's phoning it in now.
Yeah, I think he is. Carl, let's throw some commercials on this. I'm gonna need a break. You guys want me to order in, or who wants to run to Jimmy John's?
I'm good for now. It's late.
It's late.
All right. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, the BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today!
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jason Block, Bad News Beeman, and Carl Chenier, who's busy making sure that this whole thing is encrypted. If I were a WWE superstar right now, I would hate the fact that as soon as I was done with Raw, I had time to shower, change my clothes, and then probably fly out of LaGuardia to Tokyo. That's a 15-hour flight. I've done it from Newark. Not fun. Jason, you've looked at some of this stuff, and you're actually partially affected by it.
Yes, I am, because I am going to the show this coming tomorrow. This coming tomorrow. Actually, today, as we record this, we've got a... this is the card we have. John Cena and Bray Wyatt, who were in Tokyo the first two nights of the... Was it a three-show tour that they had. After the second show, they flew back to the United States and are going to be in a lumberjack match, which are being led by Triple H and Ric Flair, and 10 people. The other card includes Chris Jericho versus Randy Orton, Sheamus versus Del Rio. We have an appearance by Mark Henry. Jericho's also pulling double duty doing the highlight reel. And Rusev is going to make his debut along with Lana and Charlotte. And we got R-Truth, Usos, Goldust, Stardust, Ryback, Summer Rae, and Layla. Plus a couple of other people, I'm guessing.
So, yeah, you've got a pretty stacked card. While, meanwhile, in Japan, out there is Ambrose, Reigns, Harper, Rowan, Seth Rollins, Neville, Sami Zayn.
Who, by the way, Neville and Zayn wrestled on the entire Tokyo card. Enough said.
I'm sure, and not a single complaint was heard.
Nope.
Single complaint. I want them on my TV yesterday. Yep. Let's see. Kane, Paige, Miz, Kofi, Cesaro, my dear Uncle Paul, which I've seen this a lovely picture of him just standing there almost defiant with the crowd behind him, looking like a boss. Or just frustrated that he's not allowed to have a microphone or a translator so that he could continue to speak about his client, Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Did John Cena make the trip?
He was over there, and then he's probably on a plane as we are recording, flying back to New York so that he can entertain Jason.
Yes, and then okay, but of course, maybe he'll fly into Boston and make the drive down. Thank you so much.
That was a softball, man. You got to try harder.
I know.
Let's see. Cesaro, Uncle Paul, RVD, Big E, Ziggler, and Alicia Fox.
That's not a bad tour, but boy, because Raw's in Richmond, so they now, after the show, which I think is already done because of the time difference, so then they got to fly back because they're also doing some weekend shows in Jersey, I think. I just got to...
That wouldn't surprise me because everybody else will fly... If depending on the airline, they might have to fly back into Newark instead of New York City.
Yeah, I'm just trying to check exactly where and who.
Regardless, it's a 16-hour flight.
Oh, yes. I guess... So, no, I think this crew is doing Sunday in Wildwood. Okay. And that's right. They got another show, and then they're doing another event Saturday in Osaka, and then they're flying back. Holy cow! Yipe!
This is one of those times that I don't envy these guys. Sorry, Shane.
Oh no, that's fine. But and then the next month they're going to be over here in Australia.
Are you going?
I wish I was, but there's one man that's not going, and that's the friggin' champion. What the hell?
Oh, so Cena
apparently can't get through Australian customs because, well, koala bears can see him. So.
Oh, jeez.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Well,
I honestly have no idea why he's not coming over here, but... We do get the added bonus because while Cena can't make it, a 65-year-old man can in Ric Flair. Woo! Which is
maybe
pretty cool.
He will walk his daughter to the ring.
Yeah, that's the other part. Like, hey, I got nothing against Nikki Bella, but I don't get Paige. What the hell, man? That's why I did not buy my tickets, ladies and gentlemen. If there's no Paige and no WWE champion, I ain't going.
Oh, and by the way, the reason why Flair's doing all this stuff, he's cleared, believe it or not. He passed the wellness test.
That's because they found blood in his alcohol stream.
That's good.
I'm sorry. It's and it's true.
Yeah, it's incredibly true.
And I'm hoping it's all because the evil boss, Dr. Levescu, is trying to straighten him out.
Well, come on, he's helped straighten out like four people. Like, he's straightened out Kevin Nash, straightened out Scott Hall, straightened out Sean. I mean, come on, Rick can't be worse than them, surely. Sure.
Yeah, but remember, Flair had like a 25-year head start before Hunter came along.
Yeah, no, I know. Trust me, I saw... Well, what was that crappy show that he did? Yeah, that's right. The wife swap that him and Roddy Piper did. Jesus.
I think I'm going to save myself an hour and not watch that.
Just don't.
I won't. Don't worry.
It was painful.
Okay. For a guy whose contract is expiring in a week, I was surprised to hear his music on Monday. Not during the show. One of the ads they did, though, was where they were talking, they had a thing called Breaking the Bank, where they were talking about Money in the Bank cash-ins. Heavily featuring the two-time Money in the Bank winner and man whose contract is expiring soon, CM Punk. To me, this is kind of counterintuitive. Are they trying to throw me off by showing me Punk when I don't think he's coming back?
I don't know necessarily, but I think it's sort of, okay, from what I've been hearing, Punk's happy. Punk's claiming to be retired, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Punk's, you know, unless this is the swerve of all swerves, and AJ's going, honey, they really, really want you. And you know what I mean? I think it's just sort of, I mean, and also Punk was also featured in the Monday Night War documentary.
Right. So, it just makes me more curious now, because the going rule is that when a guy is not contracted, when he leaves, he might get a passing mention. They might, they might show some footage of him. But after a while, he'll just slowly fall off the radar. His contract's wrapping up here, and I've seen his face more in the last 2 weeks than I have seen since February.
I don't know. Put it to you this way. Would it shock me to see him back in the WWE fold? Yes. After all the bad blood. It's a matter of
could he? I mean, he got 6 months off.
He could, but I don't think he will, due to the fact that he has gone on record so many times and saying when he is done with wrestling, he's done with wrestling. So I think he's had plenty of opportunities to come back. I mean, if that hijack roar in Chicago wasn't enough, like, Jesus, he could have come back then, it would have been brilliant, but didn't do it. So I honestly think he's done. He's just fed up with wrestling, I think.
And more power to him. If he is done, please don't give us the Terry Funk treatment. That's the one thing, something I don't want to see out of a guy like Punk. But it does add an extra bit of intrigue to this Monday's Raw, where they've had the number 7-14-14, and somehow it's pointing to Sting. Maybe. Possibly. Raja.
No, it's not Raja. Sting actually posted that number on his Twitter feed. It's either one of two things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's either he's going to make an appearance in Richmond, or, and I'm guessing this is more, and I'm going to use a little Pixel Nation sort of deal,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's going to talk about his involvement in his first WWE 2K15 video game. And you know what? Remember what happened last year with that? We had the late Ultimate Warrior with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had his induction into the Hall of Fame.
So, and if Sting follows that path, more power to him.
Yes, I don't mean to be crude about this, but let's hope he follows the path without the ending that the Warrior had.
No. I'm not wishing that on him. I'm saying that he gets included in the video game. They offer him a Legends deal. They put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I don't care if Sting never wrestles for the Fed. I honestly don't care. I just want to see him at least put somewhere where newer fans can see what all the fuss was about.
Because this guy had, what, a 30-year reign?
He was a staple to NWA and WCW from the late 80s till when they closed their doors in 2001. And then resurfaced in TNA in 06.
Think so, lock a check.
I want to say 06 because I think it was at Bound for Glory 06 and I was there.
He debuted for TNA in 03, actually.
Hmm.
He made appearances here and there. He came back in December of 05 at Turning Point.
Okay.
With the date January 15th, 06.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so. But, TNA stuff aside, everything that he did for NWA and WCW, between him and Ric Flair, even if near the end they were having the exact same match every time.
I mean, he was there from 87 to 01, 14 years. That's a long time.
Yep. And he's done his share for the business. He deserves to be immortalized. And I don't need to see him wrestle anybody in the Fed. Are there dream matches? Oh, yeah. But he doesn't have to. Not for me, anyway.
No, I don't want to see him wrestle. I really don't. Because, honestly, the match, if let me put it this way, if Undertaker was 22-0, then yes, but since he's not, he doesn't have to.
No, and I think that's the only match anybody wanted to see, and there's no need for it now. We took care of that little problem.
See, Jason, you opened it. You opened the floodgates. Now you're going to have to accept the consequences.
I'll take it because it's true. Okay.
You're just fortunate that my dear uncle will be still in Japan and not show up at your event at the garden.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well.
What?
But no. Oh, but you want to know something though? And we were talking about you talking about TNA. I do actually have, you know, I have to give you the contractual obligation thing. Sorry.
Oh, geez. Okay. Even though this is an underground podcast, we still got to talk about TNA. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. There actually are a couple of interesting things that happened. First of all, our boy Rockstar Spud, who is actually one of the few bright spots of the Dixie Carter era, by the way, was found in TNA British Boot Camp. Dixie Carter tweeted that season two of that show, where they have a camp and find wrestlers, is going to be on Challenge TV in the UK this fall. Okay.
All right.
But more importantly, the well-received New York run that was taped a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
That run starts next Thursday, the 18th of July.
Okay.
The 17th of July. With the return of the six-sided ring and a bunch of very well-received matches. Universally, I might add. So I would check it out. I would check those out.
I'm just glad that TNA did not get run out on a rail when they came to New York, because that's what we feared. We really expected the crowd to turn into a full-blown ECW, you know, we hate you crowd.
No, because they gave them a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
They had to. They didn't have a choice. The New York fans would not have settled for anything else, and there would have been nothing left of the Manhattan Center.
Nope. That's why they're coming back.
And they're hoping, since these were so well received, they're hoping that will curry a little favor towards Spike, who still hasn't decided if they're going to keep TNA or not.
Well, with the way their ratings went this week, it's not. I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you.
That's
all. Oh, there is the bad news, Beeman. Talk to me.
Well, even with the return of Mr. Jeff Hardy this week, it appears that they lost another 100,000 viewers.
No, not true. No, they only lost they actually lost only about 41,000. Okay.
Still, 41,000. That's still a loss. Come on, man.
It is still a loss, but the thing is that they have been up the last two episodes, and I bet you the New York episodes are going to do very, very well. So.
If they've been talked up well enough online, I'm sure, you know, people are gonna tune in. Just a lot of people were gonna tune in anyway, just to see what the crowd was gonna do. Especially if the crowd decided to react negatively to their presence.
No, Jason. Actually, if you remember, I think the one match I think you've got to wait at least 2-3 weeks for is I got a This Is Awesome chant, and that was their main event.
Yeah, because without spoiling it, it reignited a classic WWE feud.
Exactly. So that makes me worry a little bit as well. Like, will TNA only get the ratings because they've brought in some former ECW WWE talents, or will they fall flat on their faces afterwards, or could this be the turnaround that everyone's been waiting for?
That we'll have to see. So, have I covered everything I wanted to cover? Oh, sorry, there is one other thing I got to take a quick touch on, and that is the El Rey Network. Just taking a quick look at this. El Rey Network is trying to be kind of like the WWE Network, and they're trying to get some original content. One of their shows will be Lucha Uprising, a character-driven freestyle wrestling show. and Cutting Crew, which is a reality series that I refuse to give any press to. Sorry. Launching a new night of originals so early in the life of the LRA network might seem counterintuitive to some, but it's actually quite strategic. This is according to Vice Chairman Scott Sasa of LRA Network. We feel that Lucha and Cutting Crew are the perfect addition to our lineup and will be a competing watch for LRA's very passionate and engaged audience. We are excited to be working with Mark 1-3 Media and the production team at Big Vida to bring these two entertaining programs to television. That is corporate for, yes, we've got new content!
Yes.
Pretty much.
But the Lucha Uprising show is actually AAA, which is basically what they're doing. It's in a one-hour weekly show that is called Lucha Uprising, and it's debuting this October 8th. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is that if they're going to try and bring AAA to the United States, and this is the biggest attempt to bring the Lucha style into the United States. I mean, they've tried it before with Lucha Libre USA, if you mm-hmm. remember, a couple of years back. Hurricane, we still love you for it, by the way, because he was involved with that. And I want to see what they do, because I don't think there has been a really true, successful, totally Lucha show here in the United States.
Closest thing has been the cartoon Mucha Lucha, and that doesn't really count.
No, not at all. No, not that. But you understand what I mean, though.
Yes. Let's see. So that's about all. Well, this last part I'm just going to do. I'll do this part as plugs, because I normally don't have anything else to plug. So let's put a bow on this show. Shane, do you have anything to promote?
Other than the fact that we didn't really go through the other Battleground matches, but I think we'll save that for another time.
Jason, I know you have a ton of stuff to promote.
Yeah, of course. We hope to... Oh, and by the way, I just found out that Daniel Bryan is actually getting the autobiography treatment.
Sweet.
It's going to be released in April 2015, and the working title is going to be Yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania. And it's going to be written by the same person who wrote The Diary of a Heartbreak Kid.
Nice.
Okay, and that'll be April 2015. So I think Daniel Bryan's staying a while. Don't worry if he, don't worry about him, folks. He's fine. We hope to have, we took off Pixel Nation, WLTI Live. Hopefully will be recorded either this week or next. Pixel Nation will be new stuff. We also have Jim Williams' Touch 'Em All podcast sometime soon. And you can hear them all on Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, and of course TuneIn Radio. So check it out.
Okay. Muck Amuck, you got anything to promote?
I think Muck Amuck is still... He's on the phone with the judge, I think.
Jeez, you shouldn't be calling him at this hour. Won't get anything done. Since our West Coast correspondent, Ethan Muslin, is not here, I hope that he's saving his pennies to go to the San Diego Comic-Con, so that he might be able to catch up with some WWE superstars, such as Hulk Hogan, Daniel Bryan, Michael Cole, and my dear Uncle Paul, who will be having a panel on the 24th regarding the action figure line and the network. So I would love to be a part of this panel. Unfortunately, I don't think I can get out there. There will also be a panel on the 24th that evening for See No Evil 2 and Leprechaun Origins. The directors for both films, Jen and Sylvia Soska for See No Evil 2 and Zach Lipovsky for Leprechaun Origins, will be part of the panel along with Kane and Hornswoggle. Hopefully Hornswoggle will not be wearing his Axl Rose wig. Please. And yes, if you are looking for me, I'm going to find my way to Hopkins, Minnesota for Ring of Honor. But by the time this airs, that show will probably have come and gone. That is not a dig against you, Carl. That is a dig against the damn judge, who I was going to call tomorrow morning, and please get off the phone with him, sir, because you are only making things worse. But I digress. I think we've had enough fun here with the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. For Bad News Beeman, for Jason Block, for our occupied Chief High Muckety Muck, my name is Nikki Heyman. I will not be silenced. We will continue to broadcast. Don't worry.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.